Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. I am so excited because I get to say something I rarely ever get to say, and I've never said to you, Esther. Happy 50th. Happy 50th.
Oh, I know.
It's your birthday. Wait, no, it's not your birthday.
I know. I was like, what?
It is your 50th podcast. This is your 50th podcast right now.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much content that you've covered over the last couple of years, and it's just, it's amazing. So if this is the first podcast you're listening to, audience, you got 49 to go. So get on it. You know, start queuing them up and
don't crank scare them.
Okay. Yeah. Small pieces. You get them in small pieces.
We want to keep them on this one.
Yeah. It's very true. Speaking of this one, what are we talking about today?
Well, as obviously is ongoing with the COVID, we've talked a lot about uncertainty and how do you manage uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And what we're focused on is how do I plan for the future given there's so much uncertainty. I was wondering, you know, what. There's so many different things that topics and guests and to bring onto the podcast. And I thought, I'm going to Google what's the most frequent personal finance question. And it's all about how do I save for retirement? So today we're talking about five key steps to focus on when you're planning your retirement. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. Yes, we know where markets are. We know the uncertainty of the economy. It's a really challenging time. But we also know one thing for sure is we're all getting older. And time just continues. You know, sun rises, sun sets. We're already towards the end of July. We will be having to address retirement. And so mm-hmm. that's what we're focusing on now.
All right, you said five key steps. So let's break them down. What are the five? And let's dive in. Is that okay?
That would be great.
All right.
The first is to really give time to thinking about your future life and retirement. Mm-hmm. The second is discuss this with your partner, your spouse, your family. Third is assess the resources that you have. And we'll mm-hmm. be going into that. The fourth is incorporate the discussion that you've had, the considerations that you have, and the assessment of resources with addressing the likelihood of success of all of these things coming together. And the last is to determine what steps are needed next and monitor those against where you would like your path to go or end up, really.
Yeah. All right. And that's so, obviously the Well, to me, it's not the most important one because it's the final step, but this is putting that plan in action, it sounds like.
It is putting the plan in action. And I was actually going to end with this, but I'll start with this too. Our brains are very geared to what's called status quo. If things are kind of okay right now, we're just going to assume that they'll be kind of okay in the future. Mm-hmm. And we're not really wired. We're not wired to really plan 10 years into the future, let alone 20 or 30. That is hard for our brains to wrap around, which is why retirement is so challenging. And yet, you know, 10 years ago, it was 2010. Mm-hmm. And if you look back, wasn't that the blink of an eye?
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to focus on this now today. Despite uncertainty, let's focus on what we can do today around our retirement.
All right. Let's go back to number one.
So that is about giving that time to thinking about your future life and retirement. So how do you do that? I definitely suggest setting time aside to write this out, maybe draw it out if you're more visual, but think about things of how old you would like to be when you stop your current work. Would you still work? but at something else. I have a client who is retired due to the COVID. It wasn't her choice, but that's what happened. And she's like, you know, I'm still have a lot to give. And that's really true these days. It's not like our parents who, if they were fortunate enough to be able to retire, would kind of live a life of leisure if they were able to, and then pass away. Now, when people are in their 60s, it's still pretty young, and they think, gosh, I've learned so much. I have so much experience. How can I use this and share this with others? That's a very common thing that I hear among my clients. So would you still work, but it's something else? What people do you see yourself being around? Who do you want to be with? What activities do you see yourself doing? And what would make your life feel really complete? And as I go through these different sections, we have tools and resources here at Gates Pass that can help prompt this type of writing and self-inquiry. So if you're interested, let us know. But that's the first thing, first step.
Gotcha. And then, I know that we'll be giving the contact information at the very end of the show so that people can reach out and get that.
Yes, we will. And because those tools are so helpful, sometimes it's hard in the midst of everything to stop and say, how do I want my retirement to go? I don't know. I just want to be able to work. Okay, I got to get back to work. We want to slow this down and create space for this kind of thoughtful contemplation. The second is to discuss this if you have a partner or a spouse, or if that's not your life situation right now. Again, I work often with women in transition. So they may be single or they may have a spouse. If they're single, talk with a good friend. If you're single, talk with a good friend. Obviously, these are conversations that we have often with our clients. However, talk it out with someone else. If you do happen to be in a marriage or partnership, talk about it with your spouse, because obviously you're sharing a life and home and future together. Just go into the discussion expecting them to have different ideas. We were raised differently than our spouse. We have different, what we call here, money stories. Money stories have to do with what you were told about money growing up, or maybe you weren't told directly, but you saw what was going on in your house. I know in my house, it was clear that when I went to my friends, they had all these different kinds of snacks. That made a big impression on me. They had all these different kinds of snacks. We didn't have those snacks in my house. Or do you remember, I don't know if you ever did this, when you had lunch in the cafeteria, which friends could buy lunch or which brought a bag lunch like we did, I did. Mm-hmm. And then what they had in their bag lunch versus what we had. I mean, just you could tell that there's a different situation going on.
Oh, yeah.
What did you see differently?
Well, one of the things that I don't know how early this was, but I know that Lunchables, right? That was a big thing. Yeah. And there were certain kids that had those every day. And I thought that was just the greatest thing ever. But then when I was talking to one of them, he was a boy that I knew, we were talking, and he said, I would just love it if my mom would make me a sandwich. But he just had crackers, cheese, and fruit, and whatever else was in that little container that he had. And he's, oh man, I just wish my mom would make me a sandwich. And I had a sandwich going, man, I wish I could have a Lunchable. It's one of those things.
I was envious of the little snack bags of Fritos. I was envious of sandwiches in sandwich bags rather than wrapped in wax paper.
Oh, okay.
I was envious of like bought cookies as opposed to homemade cookies. So the same type of thing, like, oh, they have bought stuff. That looks so neat and cool.
Yeah, Capri Suns. That was another thing. Those the little pouches. I was like, oh, those are so cool. I got milk from the cafeteria. Oh,
right. And travel, family trips. That was another thing in our money story. My family, my dad took separate trips than my sisters and my mom and I. My friends I saw all took family trips, and they would go to like Disney World. They would go skiing together. Mm-hmm. We didn't do any of that stuff. And so there was always a feeling of scarcity. And I know with my late husband, he grew up differently. He didn't grow up wealthy, but there was a lot of consistency that we didn't have in our home. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't have those experiences. So for example, I would bring more anxiety to these discussions about money than he would. And now in my new marriage, it's very different because we're at different stages in our life than I was with my late husband. We're in our middle to later 50s, and we're needing to have those discussions. And it's actually harder for my husband because he's not pleased with his financial situation. Mm-hmm. So just don't be surprised if these are difficult conversations. They can be. And yet it's not a reason to not have them.
Yeah.
We often do this again in our appointments with clients. And it's really important to confirm, what is the common ground? What is the common ground that we both agree on? And where do we have disagreement? Disagreement does not mean I have to convince the other person that they're right or wrong. Disagreement is just a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we hear each other out with those differences instead of defending them or accusing the other person of being wrong so that we can get them to our side? It's how do we bridge the differences?
Yeah, and that's tough, right? I mean, that because there's just human emotion involved, and that is, it's not always easy to, I mean, it's somewhat easy to listen to somebody else, but maybe not hear them. I guess I think I'm saying that right. But you can listen to them, but maybe not hear where their heart is or hear where their train of thought is going, because we're always constantly thinking kind of where our train's going, right? And it's hard
exactly
to take that pause.
It.
Yeah.
That's exactly it, because we can hear and we think, oh, I've known this person for, I don't know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it is. I know where they're going with mm-hmm. this. And I've thought of a new and exciting way to get them to change your mind. And I can't wait to share that with them.
How's that working out? Yeah.
Exactly. Instead of just listening to them and hearing what they have to say. My husband and I have different political perspectives. We voted for different candidates in 2016. And so many of our friends, colleagues, relatives say, when we were even dating, how could you do that? How could you do that? And it was, we made it very clear to each other. And it's not the easiest thing, but we do set aside time. Our focus is to do it weekly. We may or may not, because of what's going on in life. Mm-hmm. But to sit down and have a specific time that it's typically about 20 minutes. One person just says what they're experiencing about what's going on in the world politically for 5 minutes. The other person hears it, reflects it back. And then there's a response about what they're going through. It's not about convincing the other person at all. And what mm-hmm. we continue to find out of that experience is how much shared ground there is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it takes the elephant out of the living room. So the same thing with money. You know, politics and money both can be difficult things to talk about. So that's step two, is to talk about it. Share what your ideas are. Hopefully your spouse has done the same or similar exercise, and just share the experience. Then the next is, and this is typically where people start, but I put it as step three, which is looking at your resources, which include how much more time will you be working? What savings do you have set aside? We were talking before we were recording about things that your household is needing to spend money on, which is mm-hmm. very normal for any household. The vehicle needs repairs. We talked about cell phones, and when they getting more and more annoying, they need to be replaced, and those expenses. So savings are for that, as well as for maybe fun things that we might get to do, or just having those reserves. Investments, what are the investment resources? Also looking at expenses, and it's not just looking at discretionary and non-discretionary expenses. Discretionary being the things like clothing, eating out, some groceries, there's a lot of discretionary stuff in the grocery store that didn't used to be there when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more fun stuff. Non-discretionary things like insurance, utilities, mortgage, etc. In addition to that, there can be needs of others in the family. Children's college savings. It can be parents, if parents aren't set up well for retirement. Siblings. What resources might they need to help them through this time, especially? This is a very hot topic right now with the COVID, where people may not be able to work. They're here in California, a lot of different companies have been shut down, or types of businesses, I should say, have been shut down. And that's a very hot topic of how are families helping each other right now, and what is that impact? So looking at the expenses, looking at debt, looking at what safety nets are in place. That is typically, besides savings and investment, it's insurance plans and the resource of one's health. I have said this many times over the past 49 episodes. One can have everything perfect, quote unquote, but if one is not taking care of one's health, it really doesn't matter. And that includes mm-hmm. mental health. It is physical health as well as mental health. So assessing those resources. Again, we have tools we use here for those assessments. And I have another couple that I'm working with who have gone through quite a disappointment of a business loss that they it was a venture that they launched. It didn't go well. It used up some resources that are now not there for retirement. Now they're older. And it's like, okay, let's look at this. Yes, this is a disappointment and a loss, and there's appropriate things to be feeling for that. Let's see, let's do what we call financial triage and really look and say, what's working here and what's not? And for some clients, as they assess their resources, it could be just expenses are the issue to focus on. Everything else is pretty much handled, and that's the case with this couple as well as income. Those are the two issues. For others, it could be debt and it could be health. So it's really narrowing it down to where do we need to focus on and determining which things we focus on now, soon, later, really mm-hmm. breaking it down. Then we move into step four and we incorporate the steps of discussion and connection with our partners or our friends, if we want an accountability partner, with the assessment of resources. And we look at it together. And this is where it can get hard too for the brain because it's a lot of moving parts in some cases. Mm-hmm. And we look at what's the likelihood of success based on our current path that we're going. What are alternates to our current path if we have concerns that it won't meet our objectives? What else can we do? Again, we address those with our spouse, partner. Consider the issues that perhaps haven't come up yet, like who will ensure either the individual's or the family's financial security if one becomes ill or dies. So the becoming ill goes back to the safety net. The death is who will know if it is one person in a family who takes care of all the finances, if that something happens to that person, and we all know stories where it has, mm-hmm. who will know where to go, who to talk to, how to pick up the pieces? What concessions, if things are not going on a trajectory that is working for both parties or even for the individual, what concessions is one willing to make and what not? And this is tough. This is again where the brain can get in the way and say, well, it's okay right now. I don't know. Do I need to make any changes? And I think this is one of the most valuable things if you're working with an advisor or a third party to get this input from a third party about. And this is where I think also that people are scared to ask for help from a third party because yeah. they're scared, you know, that we're going to tell them, you know, you can't have chocolate chip cookies anymore. You have to just have carrots and celery. Mm-hmm. And really where we come in is more, well, maybe not chocolate chip cookies every day. Maybe the cookies need to wait till Friday, Saturday mm-hmm. and allocate that other to this. So we're all human too. We navigate these things too. We know, this may be a surprise, but we know if we tell you no cookies, you're going to look at us in the face and say, yes, no cookies. I absolutely agree. Thank you so much. And then you're going to go to the store on the way home and buy four bags. So yeah. it's not. So it needs to be a very open discussion about what will work and what not. And then to make agreements on what one is willing to do and in what time frame. Mm-hmm. Again, we have, I know I'm repeating this, it's a bad habit, but we have tools to navigate all of this and to document it. And the last step is, what are the steps we need to take? And how do we monitor this and stay on track with it, so with our steps? So steps can be, specify what the savings plan is. Shoot, Eric, when my late husband was first diagnosed with a heart issue, that's the second time I reached out to a financial planner out of my community. to do an assessment. Where am I at if he passes away? Because I know I am busy too. Mm-hmm. I believe in this work. I reached out to somebody who was in Minnesota, and I am in California, and I engaged them. Please run a review. If something happens to him, where am I? And I can have a great conversation with you. I don't want to do, it's very detailed and a lot of, I don't have the time to do all of that. I can have the conversation and have a good review of the data that we have, that you prepare. And oh my goodness, you know what they told me? They were so mean to me. You know what they told me?
What's that?
You have to reduce your spending, Esther.
No more cookies.
They said no more cookies. It was clothes.
Oh no. Got it.
I love my clothes. And they say, really, just see if you can cut down on that clothing budget. And I'm like, oh, man, I know how it feels now to have it on this side. And how much my mind went, you know, jumped into the thing of, oh, they don't really get it. Well, of course they're going to say that. Well, it's not really that bad. I mean, all the justifications that clients experience with me, I'm sure, the same thing. So I've been there. I understand. However, it was really good. It did keep that in mind for me. Like, okay, I need to have that in my mind because I didn't know what would happen in that situation. It was very unclear. So it could be steps like reducing spending by a specific amount to allocate to savings and investment, or in the case of clients that I have right now, just reduce spending to not whittle away at the savings and investments you have. And then review and assess the progress to the goal regularly. Depending on the severity, that could be monthly. Right now, perhaps it needs to have a monthly review because of what's going on with COVID and the uncertainty. Or in a quote-unquote more normal time, maybe that's twice a year.
Yeah.
I have a colleague who is a wonderful man, and he does a review with, in this case, it's his wife, on a semi-annual basis. And he is the one who's, quote unquote, in charge of all the financials. And he drags everything out, and his spouse never wants to do this. So if you're listening and you go, oh, my spouse won't want to do this, it's very possible they won't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, do it anyway so that there's no surprises. It's a gift for if something happens to you, because what happens in my experience is spouses come to me and go, I don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know what we're spending. So that allows one also in terms of no surprises. I mean, that's a more dire issue if someone passes away. But if, you know, I always use the analogy of if a plane is traveling from California to New York, it's not a direct line based on weather and flight traffic and what's going on. They have to keep making adjustments. They can't just put it on autopilot once they get to 30,000 feet. They'd rather know sooner rather than later. And you would too, as a passenger,
yeah.
If something's going on. Remember planes,
Eric? I remember taking a few of those before. And it was always nice when the pilot would come back and say, hey, we got clearance to do this or that, or we, you know, there was a weather, you know, situation that we had been tracking, but it didn't really form into anything. So we're actually going to land, you know, 15 to 20 minutes early. Wasn't that nice? I mean, to get a little surprise that you're going to be early instead of late. And again, it's because they're making those adjustments mid-flight. You never know exactly the time that you're going to land because they have to navigate for all sorts of unknowns.
Mm-hmm. And what did that give you when the pilot comes on and says something like that? What's nice about it?
Total reassurance, because whether they're telling me that we're going to be early or we're going to be late, at least I know and I can begin to prepare, especially in today's day and age where they have the technology where you can use your phones on planes with Wi-Fi and all the other stuff. I could actually, you know, text my, you know, the person picking me up, or I could text the person that I'm planning to meet for lunch and say, you know, it's going to be, we're going to have to push that off, or yep, we're going to be perfectly on time. It was nice to be able to plan in advance.
Yes. And to know that, okay, somebody's got this, and now I know what decisions I need to make. I can put on the smart part of my brain and say, okay, how do I need to adjust to this or not? And that's the other thing, if one is off target, sometimes that is what happens. We get to a point where, you know what, we're ahead of the game. How would you like to address that, client? Do you want to keep working? Do you want to stop? I mean, we've had those situations for sure. And then the other is, if one is off target, to determine what is causing that. Is it, for example, right now, the market, although the market so far now, year to date, is not off very much at all. But if it is a time like December of 2018, where the market dropped 20% in a quarter, or obviously what we went through in the first quarter of this year, where it dropped 35%, is it something temporary like that, or is it something more permanent, maybe a health change, a family change, a work change? And then to address, like in terms of with the pilot, what is the plan to address it? The last thing I'd say on that is to seek help along the way when needed. I work with primarily with women in transition. My associate, Eric Shea, works with younger people who are just starting to put their plans together. So either way, we can address this. It is a question that comes up. It is something we talk about quite often. And here at Gates Pass, our approach is, it is not just putting it into a computer and seeing what comes out. That's definitely a part, but a part is, where is your goal? Where do you want to be? And then if we're working with a couple, let's get you both on board and allow time and space for it to percolate together. I think one of the challenges in today's technological environment, we don't give each other that much space to talk things through. I think it's always been hard. We may not have had that modeled as kids. I certainly didn't. I laugh because I really didn't.
Yeah.
But to give each other the space to work it through, because life is complicated. It's not quite so easy just to put in how old you are going to be into a computer, what is inflation, what's your return, how much do you need to save, and then call it a day. That's not so frequently the case. So please seek help along the way. If we can be of any help in any step of this, please reach out to us. You can do so the most easily on our website, gatespassadvisors.com, with the contact button. And there you can also see the 49 previous podcasts. You can watch brief videos, very brief videos on behavioral finance that clients really like, and others. They're only about 2 minutes long, so they won't take up a lot of time. Current market news, and reach out. Let us know how we can be helpful, because this is not easy. If you're getting stuck, it doesn't mean that you're not smart enough, skilled enough. It does not mean that you have a bad relationship with your partner at all, or even with yourself. It just, this is tough and challenging and complicated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Esther, thank you so much for the reminder today and just that encouragement, you know, and that's what this has been. It's been encouraging to me because, again, my wife and I have been married for 25 years, going on 26, woo-hoo, and communication isn't our strongest suit all the time. You know, sometimes it's great, and in months and years will go by when everything is just peachy, and then all of a sudden it can get a little tough because there's some other emotions that are involved, and everybody needs a little bit of a reset, and I think that everybody could use somebody walking alongside them just to kind of help them and guide them through a process when a lot of emotion is involved. So I appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you. We're happy to do it. We make it certainly very safe for people to share what's going on and to get back to that place of connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again, Esther. And the last thank you, of course, goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.